Mr. Zuckerberg, this is an administrative board hearing. You're being accused of intentionally breaching security, violating copyrights, violating individual privacy by creating the website www.facemash.com. You're also charged with being in violation of university policy on distribution of digitized images. Before we begin with our questioning, you're allowed to make a statement. Would you like to do so?
I've already apologized in the Crimson to the ABHW, to Forza Latina, and to any women at Harvard who may have been insulted, as I take it that they were. As for any charges stemming from the breach of security, I believe I deserve some recognition from this board.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
I don't understand.
Which part?
You deserve recognition.
I believe I pointed out some pretty gaping holes in your system.
Excuse me, may I?
Yes.
Mr. Zuckerberg, I'm in charge of security for all computers on the Harvard network, and I can assure you of its sophistication. In fact, it was that level of sophistication that led us to you in less than 4 hours.
4 hours?
Yes, sir.
That would be impressive, except if you had known what you were looking for, you would have seen it written on my dorm room window.
Recorded live in the USA and covering the whole wide world, this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Right on!
With Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
Pleasure is just a click away with radio as your guest. There's no quicker way, so click away. Radio does the rest.
In my day, we didn't have these thin latex condoms so you could enjoy sexual pleasure. In my day, there was only one kind of condom. You took a rabbit skin and wrapped it around your privates and tied it off with a bungee cord. And you couldn't feel nothing. And half the time, you didn't even know if your partner was there. And we used the same one over and over again. Because we were ignorant morons. Just a bunch of hairless head kebabs standing around with rabbit skins on our dinks, and that's the way it was, and we liked it!
The following podcast contains harsh language, nudity, graphic violence, adult situations, and a healthy obsession with empirical reality.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that guy was on with Andrea Mitchell this afternoon.
He sure as hell was.
It is... Thursday, February 16th, 2012, and this is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. I'm Bob, that's Chez. That guy, he's the financier of Santorum's big super PAC, and he was on with Andrea Mitchell, and this guy's name is Foster Freese.
Foster Freese, yes.
Foster Freese. And he said... on Andrea Mitchell talking about the contraception issue. He said...
Seriously, the quote of the year.
Yeah, I mean, this is unbelievable what this guy said.
The quote of the freaking year.
I get such a chuckle when these things come out, he said. We have jihadist camps being set up in Latin America, which Rick Santorum, has been warning about, and people seem to be preoccupied with sex. I think it says something about our culture. We maybe need a massive therapy session so we can concentrate on what the real issues are. All right, you get that? You get what he's implying there? And then Free said, this contraception thing, my gosh, it's such... he meant to say so inexpensive. Back in my day, they used bear aspirin for contraception. This is a big zinger from Foster Freese. Freese. Back in my day, they used bear aspirin for contraception. The gals put it between their knees, and it wasn't that costly. Get it? Yeah. And it was, it's a big joke. It's an old-timey joke, is what he was doing. Because if you put something between your knees, you can't spread your legs. Get it?
Republicans are just obsessed with... seeing to it that women do not have sex unless it's with their husbands or for, you know, to have children or, I guess, to screw Newt Gingrich. That's the one variable.
Yeah. Well, you know, what they're doing, I think, is they're obsessed with their own white Christian maleness.
Yeah,
I wrote about
with
this
their own power.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And what they're doing is they're pulling out all the stops to try to preserve that power, to the point of,
you know, and it's slipping away. It's just it is logically, you know, there's no real opinion involved in it. It's fact. I mean, the demographics of the country are changing, and that power is slipping away, and they're panicking the hell out.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is a panic, and it comes when a group of people are ideologically, historically, in all ways, painted into a corner. So what they're doing is they're both lashing out and they're building what I would consider to be a legislative Berlin Wall around their various states.
Yeah, I read that the piece that you wrote for Huffington this week, and I agree. I agree completely, actually. I think that we're getting to the point where, you know, and I'm not alarmist about these kinds of things. I'm really, really not. In fact, I actually would, you know, you called it in the piece the Republican War on Women. I'm actually very, very sort of reluctant to use that term only because I'm really tired of hearing it. You know, the war on this, the war on that. We do that a lot. You know, I think it's kind of unnecessary hyperbole, but I absolutely get what you're saying, and I agree with the point that we're getting to the point now where there are going to be certain enclaves, certain states, certain cities where there is freedom, and there are going to be other states where there absolutely is not.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, war, obviously.
Entire regions.
Yeah. I mean, and again, just defending my my hyperbole. War in the sense that it's...
But you're not the only... By the way, I'm not criticizing. You're not the only one who does it. I mean, I've seen that term everywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, I understand exactly what you're saying. I mean, and in some respects, I've kind of complained about this sort of thing in the past. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, the use of war is appropriate in this sense. Because what they're doing is they're engaging in what I would consider to be almost a Cold War-style advancement into... I mean, this is... In fact, we're going to get to the Virginia situation in a bit. Because,
yeah.
This is become a physical intrusion. I mean, it's one thing to do papers, please, and intrude on someone's rights in terms of their liberties and their ability to freely move around. And that, I would consider that to be an impediment on someone's physical person. But what's going on in Virginia is an atrocity. I mean, what they have just passed through the Virginia House in the Virginia State Legislature is what I would consider to be legislative rape.
Yeah, again,
is some hyperbole.
No, but it's not, because believe it or not, I knew that we were going to talk about this subject, so I did actually give it which is a rarity for me. I gave it a little bit of thought. Normally, I just rattle off at the mouth and don't give a crap about what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. But I did think about that, and you are right. I mean, again, I'm not a big fan of the alarmist language or any of that crap. I mean, I'm happy to say rude, vulgar stuff online. I love that. But, you know, when it comes to the sky is falling thing, I don't always succeed, but I try to avoid that. But, yeah, I think you're right. I read you... what you wrote about that, saying that it's basically legislative rape, and it kind of is. I mean, it really is. You're right. It's an invasive procedure that a woman now has to get as mandated by the state if she wants to do this thing that she wants to do with her body, with her own body.
Yeah, and clearly we're going to spend another show, or at least not the whole show, but I mean a considerable part of today's show going back to this contraception issue, which we spent some time on last week. But we got to revisit it because it's actually expanded. I mean, the scope of this conversation and this issue has greatly expanded beyond just Catholic charities, the bishops, various church organizations. This has gone well beyond that and has encompassed, the abortion issue and various state laws that are being passed now. And so with regards to this Virginia situation, I didn't realize, and forgive my ignorance on this, I had no idea when they said, you know, they're going to be requiring ultrasounds for women who are planning to have an abortion. This way they can intimidate the woman and say, oh, look at that. Look at the baby. Look at the baby. You don't want to kill that baby, do you? That's why they're doing it. It's like
it's exactly why they're doing
it's a it's a form of intimidation.
It's it's psychological intimidation.
Yeah, it's psychological trickery, and what they're trying to do is make the woman feel bad for this very painful personal decision that she's making, with or without her partner.
Voight Kampff from Blade Runner. It's a test designed to provoke an emotional response.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. And so then I saw the Rachel Maddow show. And I actually saw what this thing was, how they're doing the ultrasound. And instead of taking you think of the ultrasound and they squeeze the, you know, the lubricant stuff onto the stomach, and then they move that paddle around on the stomach, and then you hear the whoa, 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 whoa noise, and there's a picture of what looks to be a pixelated space alien on the screen. And but it's not that. What they're doing, what they're proposing in Virginia, is what's called a transvaginal ultrasound.
Dear God.
Using something called a transducer. Now, this thing looks like, you know, if you play, I don't know.
Scientology e-meter.
That's right. It looks like a device you would find. It looks like the drum, maybe like the drumstick that you use with Guitar Hero or rock band or something like that. It's like this long wand with a sort of a rounded tip to it, and it's connected by a cable to probably a screen or some other computer device, and they insert this thing inside the patient, inside the vagina, and they attain the ultrasound from within the woman's body. And this is what the Virginia State Legislature is mandating as part of the process to get an abortion in that state, irrespective of why. It doesn't matter why the abortion is happening. It could be a matter of choice. It could be a matter of finances. It can't, you know, you can't afford to go through with a pregnancy. Oh no, I'm pregnant. We didn't plan this. We don't have any money. We don't have any health care. What are we going to do? Well, your choices are limited. Doesn't matter. Rape, incest, all of the other reasons. Doesn't matter. This is a violation. These are small government conservatives inserting an electronic wand into the vaginas of women who want to have an abortion. The most personal decision any woman could possibly make.
Yeah, that's it exactly. That is it. You hit it on the head. That's exactly what it is. And you don't even need to throw in hyperbole there. That makes its own gravy.
Yeah, and that's why I say that, and fortunately, quite a few people online have agreed with me, because I was a little worried. Is this to call this some form of legislative, some sort of state-sponsored rape? Is that, am I going to get the Moore Award nomination on Andrew Sullivan's blog or something like that, the Malkin Award, by saying that? You know, I don't know, So I was kind of hesitant to write that, but the more I thought about it, the more it rang true to me.
I think it is. I agree with you. Look, if a woman makes the decision that she wants to have an abortion, obviously there are things that are going to happen during that abortion that are going to be invasive, more than likely. And that's awful. I mean, it is. I know that that's very difficult. It's a really tough choice for a woman. But that is, again, that's her choice. Someone else inserting something inside of her as a sort of precursor to that she has no control over, going into her body, that's freaking rape.
Yeah. Well, this is Bob McDonald and the Virginia Republicans saying that if you're a woman living in Virginia, and again, if you want to have this procedure, which might actually be the most difficult decision any woman will have to make in her life. This is not something they kind of paint this caricature that women are just walking around willing. They're going to get a mani-pedi and then an abortion right afterwards.
Yeah, the slut-shaming thing, yeah.
That's right. Like it's some we're willy-nilly just killing children is what is the implication. What they assume that these are just – it's like going through – picking up an order at McDonald's through the drive-thru. It's not. It's an extraordinarily painful decision, irrespective of, again, as I said, the reasons for it. And so what they're doing is saying, you know what, you're not capable of making this decision on your own. We have to stick this thing into your vagina to help you make this decision. Small government conservatives.
We powerful white middle-aged Christian men.
Here's the sort of the wrap up of the law, because it expands. It's more than just this transvaginal ultrasound device. It's a transducer, for God's sake. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The Virginia House of Delegates passed two of the strictest anti-abortion bills in the nation on Tuesday. Opponents say it's part of a strategy which would make abortion illegal immediately if the Supreme Court were to overturn Roe v. Wade. The first bill defines personhood at conception and is similar to the one passed by the Oklahoma Senate, which was noted in this morning's AM roundup on the Wall Street Journal. The Virginia bill doesn't ban abortions, but it would make certain kinds of contraceptives illegal. If the Roe decision were eventually overturned, this measure would also make abortion illegal immediately. The second measure passed in Virginia requires that women seeking an abortion be forced to undergo an ultrasound, which would mean a more physically invasive transvaginal ultrasound in the cases of early pregnancy. The Virginia Senate passed an ultrasound bill earlier this month. Governor Bob McDonald has indicated his support for the law and is expected to sign it. So that's it. I mean, that's it. It's going to pass. This is going to be law in Virginia. And the way it sounds is it sounds as if the early abortions, the first trimester and earlier kind of abortions that would happen, that so for all intents and purposes, the embryo is not even sort of human looking yet. Let's put it in the most graphic of terms. Now those are going to become the most invasive and disgusting invasion of privacy that anyone could possibly imagine. I mean, anyone with daughters, wives, girlfriends, mothers, in some cases, if you're young enough listening to this show, this ought to offend everybody.
I was actually going to say, I know that there's something, obviously, that there's something really wrong with it, because I had a sort of visceral reaction to it, that, you know, what if it were my child, someone I care about, if it were my wife, my girlfriend, whatever, you know, how would I feel? And I think the first thought I had was I'd probably want to grab the guy doing it and punch him in the freaking mouth.
Well, I mean, and there's another dimension to all of this, and that actually raises a good point in terms of the role of the physician in all of this, or the nurse practitioner, whoever's
that,
in the room.
I
think we're going to keep talking about this right after a quick break. Back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
That's right. It's the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show. And, you know, I think a lot of people are getting tired of hearing about this issue. I've heard some things, read some things online, and said, well, you know, it's just, again, it's that ongoing wedge. It's that reproductive rights issue that will never get resolved. No one will ever agree about it. But, you know, it's such a critical matter.
Interesting thing to me is that by delving into the issue of birth control, which is something that so many people in America use and feel comfortable using, and it shouldn't be a big deal. This is, you know, I think I called it on the Deus Ex Malcontent. I think I called it like it's political nitroglycerin, you know, and it's going to blow up in their faces. It's such an incredibly unpopular third rail for them to get anywhere near. And yet they're doing it. And there are very few topics, very few issues where the Republicans truly, truly tip their hand and show you the kind of backward-ass, Neanderthalic way that they think. And this is one of them.
That's right. And where it's happening are states in which, and Virginia is kind of an exception because it's kind of a purple state.
Depending on whether you're north or south.
That's true. But I think a lot of these states, it's going to be very difficult to swing the balance far enough to the left that will roll back some of these things. Oklahoma, for example. I know Oklahoma did elect their first openly gay state senator, but come on. We're talking about Oklahoma here. Things aren't going to get rolled back that rapidly. And I think going back to what you were saying prior to the break, what we're looking at here, again, this is the gigantic elephant in the room. And that is that what these laws are doing is these laws are criminalizing women. Women and their reproductive rights. I mean, this is reproductive and sexual criminalization. If you use birth control, and it because most birth control doesn't, some birth control regulates hormones and functions prior to any form of conception. Most birth control, the way it works is it once an egg is fertilized. The birth control and the hormones released by the birth control pills prevent that zygote from implanting inside the uterus. And then it just gets flushed out with the next period. And so what these laws are saying is that by doing that, you are taking a life. You are actively killing a living being. Now, I personally believe... that in the broadest possible sense, our lives do begin, a fully realized sentient human life begins at the point of conception. You could say that I was first formed at the point of conception. My life timeline began at that point in time. But as long as that life is still within the body of another human being, that human being has, I believe, controlling choice over the destiny of that creature inside, whether you want to call it a baby or a fetus or a zygote or an embryo or whatever.
Thorny, the ultimate thorny subject.
Yeah.
Because I've actually written about this before. I put something up both on the blog and at Huffington. They drew some surprisingly good responses, not like the usual sort of peanut gallery shouting and yelling, gnashing of teeth and all that, where I basically said, like, look, from a philosophical point of view, if you believe that thing that you're carrying is a baby, I was trying to really sort of remove everything and just do sort of like a strict sort of logical philosophical argument. But if you believe that thing growing inside of you is a baby, then nothing you say or do, no concern that you have for yourself will supersede the life of that child. So therefore, yeah, I was kind of making the argument that, abortion is wrong. I'm very much on the fence about it when it comes to whether or not I think it's sort of morally wrong. But I do believe, regardless, and this is, this is that whole F. Scott Fitzgerald, as if I have a first-rate intellect, but the true test of a first-rate intellect is the ability to hold two opposing thoughts in mind at the same time and retain the ability to function. And I know that while I may think that it's morally wrong in a lot of respects, not always, certainly not always, but while I may think that, there are certainly moral questions there, I vehemently, wholeheartedly, 100% support a woman's right to choose.
That's right.
That's her destiny. It's her life. I get that. The argument that I was making is, once again, sort of let's try to have a hands-off philosophical argument about whether or not it really is a child, and if you believe that, then can you? If you believe it's a child, can you then? Is there any conclusion you can come to where terminating it is okay?
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Well, and again, nothing is black or white. It's all shades
exactly.
of gray.
Very much.
And I think we track on this quite closely. a woman's ability to decide what happens inside of her body is her own business and her own decision-making process. I mean, I would never presume.
That's true. It's definitely not my business.
Yeah, especially as a guy. I would never presume to sit here and go, you know what? You're evil. You just murdered a life. And so I think if we all became a little more intellectually honest about this, and again, when I say we, I don't necessarily mean us. I'm talking about...
You mean me and you? We can't be. No. There's nothing intellectual about us.
Well, I'm talking about... I'm being snarky, and I'm referencing specifically conservatives, because they just do not want to attempt any kind of reason on this. There is no reasoning. It's all or nothing. You know, we could say over and over again that our goal is to make... abortion.
Gee, an irrational conservative belief system. Who'd have thought?
Right. I mean, the goal is to make abortion safe, legal, and rare, to quote Hillary Clinton. That should be the ultimate goal. What makes abortion less likely? Affordable access to birth control.
Very true.
Making the entire process more affordable. I mean, I've always said that you want to reduce abortions... make pregnancy free. Free and universal health care. I said this last week, but it bears repeating. Free and universal health care for any pregnant mother, and continued free and universal health care until that baby is make up an age. 6 years old, 10 years old.
37.
37. Let's say 80. Free and universal health care, that would mean for everybody. There's more aspects to all of it. I really want to get to Nancy Grace at some point. We're going to talk about Nancy Grace and why she ought to be fired. You wrote a great piece this week, Chez. I want to talk about that. But before we do, we got to take a break. And I want to get to this Rush Limbaugh audio from today.
Yay.
Because it's...
You know, I spend all my days, like, trying not to listen to anything from that buffoon. And then I come on this show, and you're just like, here's Rush Limbaugh. You know what? I don't want to...
Sorry.
No.
This is good. This is going to be satisfactory. This is going to be very satisfying. Quick break. Back after this.
This is the Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show with Bob Seska and Chez Pazienza.
The official sponsor of today's show and every show is BubbleGenius.com. Pure products, pure genius, Bubble Genius. President's Day is just around the corner, and Bubble Genius has some great stuff all set for you. Bath and body products, soaps. All sorts of good things for President's Day. And here's Bubble Genius to tell us more.
And now, a President's Day announcement from the Tea Party Patriots of America.
We here at the Tea Party want to celebrate President's Day by talking about Mount Rushmore. That was when President Rushmore and the other three founders took a rough ride and... defeated the Indians. Yeah. And then they got mad about tea. So they had a revolution to protect our freedoms. Then our forefathers wrote the Constitution of Independence. And that's why they put these guys on that wall there.
Get yourself a Mount Washmore for President's Day. Mount Rushmore, faithfully rendered in soap. Educate them while they're young.
So which one's Reagan?
BubbleGenius.com.
Shove Bob and Chez into your pants and haul them around with you wherever you go. Subscribe to the Bob and Chez Show in the podcast section on iTunes.
And as always, make sure to enter your promo code. This is an exclusive for anyone who listens to this show, because you won't find this promo code anywhere else. Bob and Chez, BobandChez. And get 15% off your entire order from BubbleGenius.com. So bite me. We're going to play some Rush Limbaugh here. Because this just, to me, this is, Rush Limbaugh's at the point where he's hilarious. Because he's so effed up from all of his substance abuse and from his rapid weight loss and weight gains again. Just listening to his voice makes me laugh. He has quite a few listeners. I don't know if you know this.
Yes, he does.
Like a gazillion listeners. And they all love him. So much so that they've made up a word that he's been using for 30 years now, which is called, ditto heads. They're all ditto. They believe everything this guy says. You know, the rest of us know Rush Limbaugh is, a former DJ named Jeff Christie or whatever his name, one of his radio names was. And he's like a stupid disc jockey. And so he's playing this character. And so he's saying whatever inflammatory things will boost his ratings. And this is the latest thing. This is the latest thing from him. And again, I when was the last time I played Rush Limbaugh on this show? It's been months, I think.
I guess it has been, yeah. Fair enough.
I really try to ignore him. But every once in a while, something he does and something he says just cracks me up. And here's Rush Limbaugh today talking about contraception.
Why is contraception so important that it must be paid for by somebody else? It's so important that you have contraceptives. It can't be left up to you to even take the initiative to provide them for yourself. They have to be provided for you. Why not toothpaste? Why not hotel rooms? Why not a car? What is it?
Yes, because contraception is as commonplace and mundane as buying a tube of toothpaste.
Is it my imagination, or is he sounding more and more like Wallace Shawn?
He's getting to the point where
inconceivable.
Rush Limbaugh was a great broadcaster. Well, at least he used to be. He used to have a really crisp, sharp delivery, like da 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 da. Excellence in Broadcasting Network. And now he's like,
right.
Contraception is no different than buying toothpaste. You know, he's got like he has to wear like a spit cup or something under his mouth. He's just such a mess, this guy. I wrote on the blog that here's a guy who's making a big stink about prescription medication. And that's what most contraception is. It's some form of prescription medication or a prescription device.
Oh, the balls on him.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And he knows where to find prescription medication.
Of course he does.
He either gets it in the form of Viagra in someone else's name. And this is true fact. True fact. It's on Smoking Gun. He was detained trying to get into the Dominican Republic with a group of guys, not a woman in sight. With a vial of Viagra, and not in his name, someone else's name, was on the prescription. So why, you ask, was he going to the Dominican Republic without a partner, without a female partner, and a big jar of Viagra? Why? Why would anyone?
I don't want to think about it. I just don't.
Just speculate.
It conjures up far too many. Too much horrific imagery.
How does Rush Limbaugh get married?
That, however, is what I'm going to think about from now on when I want to stave off orgasm during sex. It's better than baseball.
There you go. We're providing a public service.
Yes.
And then, of course, he got all of his OxyContin from an abandoned convenience store parking lot. So this guy knows how to get prescription drugs. So why should you have any health insurance provider cover it for you when there are lots of convenience store parking lots where you can just pull
exactly.
up and get your very own birth control the Rush Limbaugh way. No. Greetings, people. I gotta tell you, the best way to get prescription drugs is to pull up to your local convenience store. I prefer Turkey Hill Minute Markets.
I used to meet my dealer in the parking lot of a Taco Bell, so.
But, and, I wonder which of those convenience stores is the best for providing legally attained prescription medication.
Any strip mall in Florida, which is where he was getting it.
Well, maybe Rush Limbaugh could clue us in on his next show. If he can control his saliva content. What am I talking about? Pluck, pluck, pluck in my chest.
You ever notice that? You ever seen? Have you seen a recent video of Rush? He does. He's got this nervous tic where he like plucks his chest. He like grabs his shirt and pulls it out and then snaps it back.
Weird.
There is what it's you can think about instead of baseball.
I used to work with Darren Kagan. She was my anchor when I was at CNN. And, you know, there was that brief period where she was dating him. And I was just, you know, I'm not going to slam Darren at all. I like Darren a lot. Mm. But that's it exactly. I like her. And I could never figure it out. I was just baffled by that. Like, obviously, there's something behind the scenes that he, you know, it's got to be a show. I mean, his entire shtick, it's just got to be exactly that, a shtick. Because Darren was, you know, I like Darren. Darren was pretty cool. And for whatever inexplicable reason, she was dating him. And she dated him for a while.
Well, like all of these right-wing talk show hosts, talk radio guys, they're all DJs who have made a business decision. They've made a career move.
Sure.
This is nothing. This is no different than a couple of DJs teaming up and doing a morning zoo. Well, this is a DJ deciding, hey, look at that. Look at that. Lots of people, if you want to be in talk radio, you got to do conservative talk. And that's why they're doing it. That's exactly
what. Didn't Mancow do that?
Mancow
go to, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all these guys, if you look back in their history, Glenn Beck. You know, Glenn Beck was a hot rockin' DJ. He was a morning zoo guy. He was, you know, famously in that commercial, you can see it on YouTube, with a chimp and giving away free cash and doing donkey basketball and God only knows what else. Lots of cocaine.
Oh, yeah.
I'm assuming lots of cocaine.
That's very important when it comes to morning zoos. They all sound like that. I think David Cross used to talk about that. They all sound like they just put their face into a pile of blow.
Oh, exactly. One last break. Back after this.
The Bubble Genius Bob and Chez Show.
His name was Jeff Christie. That's what Rush Limbaugh went as, Jeff Christie, for a while, when he was a DJ.
Tesla.
God, you know, this might
great
be...
Great band and great song, actually.
This might be my favorite, like, hair band heavy metal song from the 80s.
They were always better than the average hair band.
Yeah. And this, it was this song, though, I think that was such a standout. I mean, even among their other stuff.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Tesla was weird, though, because that they obviously had a bone to pick with Edison. That was a real stuck in their craw, the whole, you know, Tesla got robbed thing.
You wrote a great piece this week calling for CNN to fire Nancy Grace. Now, I have this audio here.
That's going to go absolutely nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, the piece has got some traction, God bless it. But, yeah, I mean, completely jousting at, tilting at windmills, as they say.
Well, sure, but I think what it does is it generates critical mass. So let's back up. Now, we all know that Whitney Houston died last weekend, and Nancy Grace, who markets in, just like Rush Limbaugh markets in wing nuttery, Nancy Grace markets in conspiracy theories and courtroom dramas and crap like that. Well, she was, well, why don't you set it up?
All right, so Nancy Grace is being interviewed by, I think it was Brooke Baldwin, right after, it's less than 48 hours after Whitney Houston has been found dead, supposedly in the bathtub, supposedly drowned. And Nancy Grace is already throwing out, and this is CNN, remember. It's, you know, the middle initial in CNN ostensibly is news. Mm-hmm. And she is throwing out this wild sort of theory that she has, basically saying, I want to know who pushed Whitney Houston underwater, intimating that Whitney Houston was killed. You know, the woman who's been doing drugs for I don't know how many years is not actually the victim of her own vices, died at her own hand, so to speak, but was killed by somebody. Somebody she ran with, something like that. I mean, if that were to be the case, obviously it would be Nancy Grace's dream come true. And so she goes ahead and goes on the air and starts talking about that. And you can't do that.
Yeah.
You can't say that. You can't make those kinds of claims. And CNN can't allow her to get away with it. So go ahead and play the audio.
Well, what she's doing is she's inventing news. She's inventing.
Exactly.
She's fabricating a scandal for her own benefit.
And that's
because
it,
then
exactly.
Everyone, because then she's going to ostensibly continue to pursue this into what would amount to be a year, 2 years of ongoing speculation and courtroom drama and tabloid mayhem.
And that's exactly what it's tabloid. It's tabloid, and it is not fit. Whether you like, whether you're a fan of CNN or not, whether you think CNN does a good job, whether you think that they have journalistic integrity, or you think that they suck, regardless of that, it is ostensibly a news organization. And it is not the place for someone like Nancy Grace to go on the air and say what she said and essentially, like you said, manufacture a story where there isn't one with zero proof, none whatsoever, to the point where Don Lemon, from a somewhat level-headed and pretty much by-the-numbers CNN anchor, has to go on afterwards and essentially offer up a disclaimer and say, you know, we want to mention right off the bat that there is no proof that Whitney Houston was murdered. CNN has not been reporting that. But no, Nancy doesn't give a crap. Grace doesn't care one bit.
Yeah.
Because as far as she's concerned, she's sort of above the rules, and it's all about sort of generating publicity and hype for Nancy Grace. And she does this kind of crap all the time. She does it constantly. She has, more so than any other cable news presence, she has really, really, really done more, I think, honestly, more inarguably unethical things than just about anybody else. You may not like Hannity, you may not like O'Reilly, you may not like a lot of the people on Fox or a lot of the people in other, at other networks. And you may have disagreements with the way they talk, with the things that they do. Very, very rarely do they do something that is flat out 100%, wrong. I remember the time a while back when I think it was Hannity's show cut the wrong video for something. And it was obvious that it was done purposely. And they got called out for it. And that was, no matter what your political slant is, that was wrong. And Nancy Grace has more crap like that under her belt than anyone else I can think of in cable news. And the fact that she is on CNN, which, again, in the piece that I wrote, asking CNN, demanding, how fun is that? Demanding at CNN, right, that's going to go nowhere. Yeah. Demanding that CNN fire her. I never actually said that CNN has credibility. I said that they can't make the argument that they have journalistic credibility and continue to employ someone like Nancy Grace. It's impossible. The two don't go together. They're mutually exclusive. You can't do that. You can't do that the same way that Nancy Grace cannot go on CNN and make that kind of claim without any proof to back it up, only the little freaking voices in her head and her own solipsism.
You know, I would contend that Nancy Grace is actually worse than Hannity and Fox News Channel. Fox News Channel, by and large, now there are some things where O'Reilly goes after non-combatants, and sometimes they do. But Nancy Grace almost exclusively markets and profiteers in the misery of ordinary people.
That is it exactly. It's morbid prurience.
Yeah.
It's sadistic exploitation. It started actually long ago, but the Melinda Duckett case, which whether you think Melinda Duckett was the young mother from, I think it was Florida, whose child disappeared. And Nancy Grace immediately began berating her during an interview and immediately set her sights on Duckett as the person who essentially killed her kid, was behind the disappearance. And during a pre-taped interview, just beat her up on the air. To the point where I think it was later that evening, Melinda Duckett killed herself. And then Nancy Staff, went ahead and turned around and ran the interview, knowing full well that this woman had killed herself. And whether or not Melinda Duckett had anything at all, whether she killed herself out of shame, whether she had anything at all to do with the death of her child, is absolutely irrelevant. Because you'll never know now. You'll never know what really happened, because Nancy took it upon herself to play judge and jury and beat the crap out of somebody because it was good television.
That's right.
And she does that kind of crap all the time. All the time. There is no excuse for CNN to continue having her on the air. None.
She should
absolutely be fired.
I mean, she might as well have just said, the Sasquatch killed Whitney Houston. A Sasquatch, a Yeti, and the Loch Ness Monster, and, oh, by the way, a bunch of space aliens, and the guy who killed Kennedy from inside the sewer lid, they all came in and conspired to kill Whitney Houston.
Yeah, there's as much proof there. That's exactly what she did.
Exactly as much. It's unbelievably irresponsible. And
beyond irresponsible. Not just irresponsible, but I mean, what she did after Casey Anthony was not only irresponsible and exploitative, it was wrong. I mean, it was just wrong. She didn't like what the verdict was, and whether you think Casey, again, whether you think Casey Anthony did it, didn't do it, immaterial, completely immaterial. The fact is that we have courts in this country, and a court spoke, and whether you think justice was done doesn't matter one bit. You don't then, as certainly not as a representative of a major news outlet, go on the air and basically start howling for blood. Mm-hmm. And because what you do is you stir up. We've talked about this before. You know, you do bear some responsibility for stirring up the kind of public frenzy that may get someone hurt or killed. And Grace did that over and over again. Didn't care one bit, not a bit, that what she was doing was just flat out freaking wrong. I mean, she's this vile, unscrupulous monster. As far as I'm concerned, she peddles, you know, morbid prurience like a streetwalker.
What makes it so additionally awful is the fact that, again, and this is kind of a hobby horse of mine, I mentioned this, but I mean, the press is the only industry that's specifically named in the United States Constitution, in the First Amendment, for God's sake.
What do you do when a news outlet absolutely refuses to be responsible? And I, of course, was talking at the time, I was talking about Fox. You know, what do you do when a news outlet just says, we're not going to play by the rules at all? And the rules being respectable broadcasting.
Yeah.
You know, the rules that the tenets that govern respectable broadcasting. What do you do? You know, you can't pull them off the air. I mean, you can, but then people will cry foul. So what do you do? How do you deal with that kind of thing? And when it comes to Nancy Grace, I mean, obviously, with Fox, it's an entire network. With CNN, whether you like them or don't like them, I think Nancy Grace stands out on that network. I think, you know, you may have some issues with some of the things that CNN covers, doesn't cover, the way they cover things. But I think Nancy Grace is a different animal altogether.
That's right.
And she is something that CNN has the ability to get rid of, to take care of, a problem that they can deal with.
Yeah.
And they should. They really should. Because the reputation of CNN, I really do believe, if they value it, it's very much at stake right now. Because she's going to continue to do these things. And the more leeway they give her, and they've obviously given her a ton, the more leeway they give her without censuring her in any way, without firing her, without holding her feet to the fire on anything, the more she's going to take. And she's going to keep saying ridiculous crap like this. She's going to keep, you know, saying irresponsible, making wild, crazy allegations because it's great for ratings, and basically just defiling the good name of CNN.
That's right.
You know, and the good name, well, like I said, the good name as far as they're concerned.
Well, just to put a lid on the Nancy Grace conversation, here now is the tape of Nancy Grace farting on Dancing with the Stars.
They were smiling so big.
Did you hear that? They were smiling. She says they were smiling so big, and then
excellent.
I just
You know what the funny thing is? That's the least offensive thing that's ever come out of Nancy Grace.
That's right.
Despicable.
Oh my God, they were smiling so big.
So big.
I'm such a child, but she deserves it.
She deserves it.
She's a misery profiteer, a conspiracy profiteer. It's ridiculous.
You know, I...
Yeah, so speaking of, what's that?
Your fiance got off easy. He didn't have to live with her for the rest of his life.
Speaking of conspiracies, we wrap up the show with this this sort of dual story. The economy, I don't know if you noticed, but jobless claims are way, way down. In fact, economists are forecasting that it's only a matter of time before unemployment drops below 8%, which is fantastic news for so many reasons, an entire litany of reasons why this is all such great news.
The economy is coming back. It's coming back in a stable way. It's not fueled by any ridiculous bubble, any short-term bubble that's just going to explode. That's what we've been doing for so long. We've been fixing the economy with bubbles, and then they burst, and then we slip into a recession, and then it's back to square one. But now, I mean, we're talking about significant, solid, and sustainable. I just used three S words in a row. Forgive. I hate that. You know, I really hate doing that. I just did it.
I don't know. Alliteration makes for great radio.
Oh, God, I hate alliteration. I hate it. It's so hackish. I did. That was completely unintentional. I'll slap myself in the face for that one. But predictably, Fox and Friends, Fox News Channel, came up with a conspiracy theory to explain the improved economy. Oh, by the way, Rush Limbaugh said, don't despair. Don't worry. Don't worry about the economy improving. as if Republicans are like, oh, crap, the economy's doing better, and that means Obama's going to win. What can we do to screw the economy again?
Don't despair. Things still suck.
Don't worry. But Brian Kilmeade and Gretchen Carlson. Gretchen Carlson, who is extraordinarily well-educated. More education than both of us combined. And she said...
You wouldn't know it by watching her.
Brian Kilmeade, who is at the opposite end of the spectrum. His eyes are too close together.
Kilmeade scares me. His eyes are too close together.
He talked about the good economic news and said, if you believe these numbers...
God.
He doesn't believe any numbers because he thinks any number above six is irrelevant. Gretchen Carlson, a minute later, added, quote, unemployment has gone down. More jobs have been created. Now, you can argue about how those numbers, some people say they've been fabricated. Some people say, yeah, Brian Kilmeade just said it seconds ago.
No, the some people say thing that's legendary for Fox. It really is.
And
the some people, by the way, those would be the people at the editorial meeting.
And the audacity that they continue to use it is remarkable to me. Like, they've been called on it so many times, and they just keep doing it and doing it
That's what I meant. That's what I mean. That's what I was talking about a minute ago. What do you do? Yeah. How can you discipline them? You can't. They refuse to be responsible, to play by the rules.
Well, sure, and a lot of them believe that by petitioning or writing an article in the Huffington Post calling for CNN to fire Nancy Grace is somehow violating their First Amendment rights. They don't understand what the First Amendment actually says about freedom of the press and free speech. It protects people from government. They got to go over this and over this. But in the off chance that there's a misguided conservative listening to this show, learn the Constitution. Read it.
I got fired by CNN, and at no point did I ever say that or ever believe that CNN was trying to censor me or stop me from writing what I was writing, taking away my rights. They hired me. They have the right to fire me. I work for them. You know, right. I may have disagreed with it, but still, it was completely within their right.
My dog is making an appearance at the end of the show here. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's Sam. I almost hate to say his actual first name. He doesn't. His only name. He doesn't have to. I'm not one of those guys who names his dog like three names.
Please don't tell me your dog's name is like Samwise Gamgee. Please.
Yes. Yes.
Is it really?
Yes, my dog's name is Samwise.
Is it really?
It really is. You nailed it.
Oh, God.
You nailed it.
Oh, that's just sad. That is depressing. It's sad because the first thing I thought is like, all right, what could you be embarrassed of? Oh yeah, a Lord of the Rings reference.
I love those books. I love those movies. I mean, come on. They've been, I think, unfairly castigated. They've unfairly been labeled as being the purview of geekery, but they're masterpieces. Give me a break.
You have like another dog named Mr. Frodo. Shadowfax.
Hey, the after party is up next. Thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning in. Drive safely, and we'll see you on the next show, Jesse.
So long.
They were smiling so big.